You are listening to Affirmations for Living with Edvige, where each week you're invited to join in our upbeat discussion as we look deeper into spiritually based principles that can change your life. We know that change can open doorways to new beginnings, and we are dedicated to helping you make the changes needed to improve your life. And now, here is your host, Reverend Dr. Edvige.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into Affirmations for Living. I am your host, Dr. Edvige, and it is my pleasure to be here with you, bringing you amazing people who can make a difference in your life. You know that Affirmations for Living is all about change. My desire is to bring you from week to week tools to empower, uplift, and inspire you to be the best that you can be and to help you take control of your life, to understand that everything you are experiencing is because you are the creator of it, consciously or unconscious. If you are aware or not, does not matter. And so, as always, I invite you to visit my site, dredvige.com, to download my app, Awakened, and to really take heed of today's show, because today's show is amazing, and I am excited about my guest, Omina. She is a natural-born clairvoyant, spiritual medium, and a soul historian. And that's really what caught my attention, the soul historian. Because as we are awakening and doing all the work to heal those parts of ourselves, right, it's about bringing our soul all together. So we're going to really be talking about that today. She has a master's degree in human services, so she understands people and has more than 35 years of experience in the mental health field, working with people living with domestic violence, addictions, HIV, mental illness, chronic diseases. So really, 35 years of putting this all together to fulfill her soul's purpose. So I'm really excited about that. So without further ado, if you want to ask a question, the call number is 712-432-3066. Put your hand up and I will let you ask that question. So once again, welcome in, Omina, and thank you for taking the time out to be with me today. You are so appreciated.
It's all my pleasure. I'm very, very happy to be on your show and to share the information that I have with people that might help them.
Absolutely. So, you know, let's start back at the beginning. How did you move through this process? Where did you begin on your spiritual journey? And what brought you to being this clairvoyant?
Well, I was born with all the gifts. And one of the things that I didn't have any fear. I didn't have any fear of people, places, or things. I had a natural fear, but I had no fear. And I could easily see through them, and I could see around them. And then as I grew, I began to do a lot of readings and began to do a lot of the clairvoyance and the spiritual medium. And then I asked the question, well, what's my true purpose? And I got a very clear answer. You have to educate people about the soul, about their soul, the journey of their soul, and because that's their whole healing power, is being able to be in touch with their soul, which is very different than religion.
Absolutely.
And it's very spiritually based. And that's where it really began. So when I would do readings with people, it's kind of like doing 20 years of therapy in an hour, because I'd have conversations with their soul and get the history and why they live the way they do, why they do things the way they do, or why they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, and educate them around that and do a lot of healing work around that. And it would be about their truth, and it would hit their truth right in the heart, and they would know. Are you still there? Hello, are you still there?
Oh, my name is Candy.
Candy, do you want to ask me something about your soul?
Yes.
Okay, then ask me the question.
Well, I know when I was praying one time, I sort of saw, like when I closed my eyes, at first I started seeing some swirling, like violet colored plasma clouds. I thought they were clouds. And I just thought, you know, it was something that I was doing when I started saying these affirmations and prayers, which was different from the type of prayer that I had been accustomed to growing up and coming up in a church. And one night when I closed my eyes, I thought I saw like a face with eyes, like a luminous face, like it was glowing.
Okay. Okay, Candy, what you need to do is give me permission to talk to your soul because you have some walls of protection around you.
Yes.
You don't really like people to go. You don't really like people to invade your space. So I'd like to have that permission so I can explain what that was to you, okay?
Yes.
Okay. So what you were getting in touch with your higher self. Your higher self was trying to get in touch with you, which is different than your soul energy.
Wow.
Okay. Your higher self was trying to give you some information because it would appear at the time you're having a difficult time either making a decision or what to do. And your higher self was trying to get your attention.
I kind of felt that.
Yes.
And then I started like using a pendulum and started trying to have conversations, but then I think maybe I attracted some other stuff around me.
Well, one of the things that I would suggest that you do is you most certainly can use whatever you need to use, but all you need to do is ask. But then you have to listen. So, and one of your blocks in listening is you do selective listening. Okay. And so now just practice, ask a question, bring in your higher self, ask the question and wait for the answer because your higher self will help you connect with your soul.
So when can I ask one more question with your soul?
Hello, and I'm back. So can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes. Okay. Okay, I'll let you ask one more question, too.
Right. That's fine.
Hello?
What's the question?
When you feel like energy over top of you, energy, I don't know, a vibration, is that soul, or is that the higher self?
That's your higher self. It's trying to raise your vibrations. And part of it is that you like to be in control of things. You have to just surrender to the process and trust it.
Oh, and trust it.
Well, yes.
I thought I was doing something wrong. I thought maybe it was some other kind of...
No. Always ask if it's for your higher good, and you'll get the answer, and then trust the process. And that's where the soul will come in, and you'll get the information that you need to do the healing work that you need to do.
Okay, got you.
Okay.
Thank you so much. I'm glad I was on this call.
Well, I'm glad that you were, too.
and so am I, because I lost the connection for some reason. And so, Amina, let me ask you, what is the soul?
Well, the soul is, if you want to envision where you have, where the spirit, and in spirit you have the masculine feminine essence, and in time way back, they decided that they need to have a new experience beside all the bliss that they were living in. So they decided they want to break away from the celestial family, and only one part of the spirit will incarnate. It'll either be the feminine or the masculine essence. And then they were given the gift. They got the blueprint for the soul, which of course holds the gift of light, energy, love, free will, creation, and the law of creation. And that's the life energy of the soul with a universal consciousness to record all the experience for you to access all your healing tools, to, you know, right all the wrongs, heal all the wounds, and love all creation. And it's through that memory that we're connected to God or the goddess or both, whichever person's belief it is. And we're forever connected there until we return there. That's really the soul's purpose, is to experience life and to have no judgment on it and just to create love and then to balance all the energy and do whatever healing needs to be done from lifetime to lifetime.
Okay. And so the soul is just an aspect of your eternal God.
It's a huge aspect. Yes. It's almost like, you know how when you're walking in the sun and your shadow is there?
Yes.
And your shadow moves behind you, it moves beside you, it moves in front of you, it gets bigger, it gets smaller. Well, the soul is kind of like that as it collects all your memories and your experiences.
Now, you know, you said something that caught my attention because you said that the male or the female will incarnate at different times, different aspects of you.
Yes.
So then what are people calling their twin flame? Because they believe that, well, your twin flame, is it not both the male and the female incarnated at the same time?
It's very rare that twin flames will incarnate at the same time. They will do that for a specific purpose, that they come to this earth to enlighten people and to achieve something.
Mm-hmm.
They rarely ever do it together. To my knowledge, they rarely ever do it together.
And that's what I thought. But you hear
yes.
more and more people saying, because we're moving into the golden age, that they met their twin flame. And I'm like, you sure it's not your soulmate? And you're like, oh, no, it's my twin flame. So,
well, your soulmate is anyone that comes into your life and helps you grow. So we have
mm-hmm.
lots of soulmates.
Absolutely.
And they can be enemies, or they can be lovers, or they can be friends, or whoever they are. They're all there to force us to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And if we could see them as that spiritual gift, it would take the personality, ego out of the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know?
So really clarify what the purpose of the soul is.
Well, the true purpose of the soul, let me explain something. People get the purpose of the soul and their passion all mixed up. The purpose of the soul is to experience everything in their lives, in many lives, and to heal whatever it is that they need to heal. That's the true purpose of the soul, to do everything for the higher good. We'll get into that later when we get into the ego of the soul and the personality. The soul's purpose is to bring all the people, places, and things to you to experience it, and then if you have the ego doing all the judgments, or if there's a lot of wounds, then the purpose of the soul is to help you heal that. It's like whisperings of the soul. We learn how to listen to it. That's the true purpose of the soul. Now, the passion of the soul is a whole different energy altogether. That's where the creative gifts come in. And if a person follow their heart and their creativity and their passion, then they're on the right path. There'll be a lot less healing to do because they'll be expressing their full soul power, you might say.
Okay, so when someone says, my soul's purpose is to, well, I'm a healer, or I'm a this, and my
okay.
soul purpose is to reach people, or my soul purpose is to do this, is that truly your soul's purpose, or is that ego?
Well, it's a bit of both, because you have the healthy ego, but it's also telling you, when you say, my true soul purpose is to be a healer, now, to be the best healer that you can be, then some blocks have to be removed, some fears have to be removed, and that's the soul's purpose to help you do that so you can be totally full in your power.
Absolutely. So, okay, you have spiritual gifts, and so, yes, you are to use these spiritual gifts, and your soul will help you to accomplish that by getting rid of the blocks or the limiting ideas or beliefs you may have about something or that.
Right, like the personality has four basic fears. That's the root of all problems for people, which is the fear of failure, the fear of expression, the fear of abandonment, and the fear of rejection.
Mm.
Nearly every soul that comes into the earth has one or two or all four that they're working on in this lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say if somebody's a healer and they have the fear of failure, that comes from another lifetime where they were a healer. And in this lifetime, they might want a lot of affirmations or feedback that they're good healers from whoever they're working on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And that blocks their full power from coming through. But it's also part of where now the soul comes in and might bring a very difficult person to them to force them to grow, for them to value themselves, even if the person that is there is saying, well, you're doing nothing for me. Okay, that will definitely bring up your fear of failure if you have it in you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it kind of works like that. And it when you're able to conquer those fears, or at least acknowledge that they're there and not personalize them, or not personalize somebody's reaction to you, then you're already on your path.
Mm.
And that applies to everything.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Can we change our soul's purpose?
Oh, I think it'd be great to change our soul's purpose from the personality ego to the ego of the soul. That would be the change in it. And changing the soul's purpose would be just to enhance it. Change maybe the way we're doing certain things that just doesn't resonate to us, and you just have to refine it.
Mm-hmm.
It's really the purpose of the soul is a healing journey to help other people heal as well as ourselves first, and then help other people. And we do that by example, and we do that by just by loving people, because it's not an ego-based love. It's just accepting people the way they are.
They are, yeah.
The way they are, and acknowledging they're on their journey, you're on your journey. You know, I'm on my journey, you're on your journey, and I may not agree with a lot of the things you're going to do or not do, but I'll accept it because that's your journey.
Absolutely. The law of allowing, right? At its best.
And it also has a certain amount of dignity to it. It's just respecting your space. And maybe, you know, I always ask people if they're looking for advice rather than giving it to them.
Yeah.
That's
real important. Don't want to take
it. It's very important.
Karma.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
Yeah. Are we all born with a soul? That's really interesting.
Well, from my guides that I work with, and I only work with ascended masters, all the earth souls earth was created for human beings and for the soul journey on it. But then there's lots of other universes that have other different type of beings that don't have a soul. And they might fit into the category of, they might be antisocial, or they might be psychopaths, they might be sociopaths.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're void of all feelings. Okay? And the soul is a feminine essence that feels. All souls are feminine. They do all the feeling. They do all the creating.
Mm-hmm.
And if you feel to a great depth, you know your soul is talking to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And
yeah.
Some people shut down the feelings because of they experience trauma in their lives when they're children. They have to shut down to protect themselves. And then
mm-hmm.
part of the healing journey is, for some of the people that come to me, is finding out where they shut down and then help them to heal their journey and how to look at it.
So now another thing that I want to ask you is, explain to me this hierarchy, if that's such a thing. I understand that your soul is above you, then your higher soul, your essential soul, and then your oversoul. Is that an accurate statement?
Well, for me, it's all the one soul. It's just different levels of growth.
Okay.
Let's say you start off, I do a workshop that has to do with the seven healing rays of the soul. And each ray is a different color, and we come in on a ray on a specific lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And we start off our very first incarnation as an infant soul. And oftentimes, an infant soul will pick a climate that's warm and doesn't require an awful lot to survive. All the natural resources are there, and you begin to grow from there. So you go through the seven. Each ray has seven rays to it, and it can take many lifetimes to go through all of them. And then depending on, you go back, of course, when you pass over, you have to go through the Hall of Remembrance to look at your experience and what you need to correct. And because free will is involved in everything, and nobody, God, the goddess, interferes with your free will.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we create everything that we are, and if we learn it, we can uncreate it. You know, we can unlearn the things that we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
In when we go for the higher good, then we really begin to express our soul's purpose, when we go for the higher good. For, let's say, like you're in a group or in a conversation, or sometimes you have to just keep your mouth shut because it's the right thing to do and it's for the higher good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very difficult for a lot of people, including me. You know? So that helps to open up more light to come in, so you can begin to realize that there's a process going on.
And so then these different layers
would they equate to the higher self, the essential soul self and the oversoul?
Yes. I'm not sure what the oversoul is. The only thing I can think about the oversoul would be where you're ready to ascend.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you get to that, there's, okay, no, I'll tell you what it is. I just got a message to tell you what it is. The oversoul is like the master soul.
Mm.
I will give you an example. Like Gandhi was a master soul. Jimmy Carter is a master soul. Martin Luther King is a master soul. Was a master soul.
Mm.
Anyone that comes with that kind of power and no fear, they're master souls.
Mm.
And they've spent many, many lifetimes building up that wall of protection where their ego is not invested in what people think about them. They're here for mm-hmm. a purpose. And it's like with Jimmy Carter, let's say, the presidency exposed him to what his real mission was, which is the Habitat for Humans. You know, he builds the houses.
Mm-hmm.
That's his soul's passion.
And
so, the trees was a master soul.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And when a master soul passes, then they have the option if they want to ascend or not.
And that was in the old timeline, right? Now, where we're moving today, we are able to ascend from the physical dimension.
Yes, mm-hmm. we can. A lot of physical beings are walking around that have already ascended. But they've
mm-hmm.
chose to be living in a regular physical body, which is very limiting in terms of what they can do because the vibrations are so high, they have to really learn to take care of themselves because otherwise it's almost like natural combustion.
And as we're having this conversation, I might add that the pulsing and vibrating is extremely strong. I had my light body descend into me this September of 2012, and boy, has it changed a lot. Where I pulse and vibrate all the time, and it's going on right now.
Yes.
You're connected
to very high energy, and it's not my ego talking. You're just connected to very high energy,
mm-hmm.
which is a wonderful thing.
It is.
Yes.
So
it
now.
Is.
Is the soul a religious concept or a spiritual entity?
It's a spiritual entity. The religion is what we do. Spirituality is who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up an Irish Catholic in Ireland, and so I know all about religion and drove everybody crazy when I was a kid asking all kinds of questions that nobody could answer. So there's definitely parts of I love the rituals of religion.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't believe, at 7 years old, I never believed in hell because I never thought that you could burn to death when you're already dead. So that was my explanation for it. And I think from there on, I began to really look at what the religion was. There's nothing wrong with religion because it's a great step to spirituality. The only part I have with religion is the punishments and the damnation. Because that's not what God intended, and that's not the soul's journey.
Yeah, and that's not God. If God is love, God is only love.
Exactly.
The energy of love. And
exactly.
So if God is love, how could source energy be anything other than love?
Well, religion is controlling. That's all I can tell you.
Yeah, exactly. And so we understand religion, the dogma of it, created by man.
Right.
We'll leave it there.
Yes. It's better to leave it there because it's people's journey, whatever they choose to believe in, whatever way they need to do it, because God doesn't interfere with our free will, so we create everything that happens to us.
And all roads lead home.
Absolutely.
It may be the short road, the high road, the long road, whatever. All
and whatever road they choose to go, they're going to keep going until they find the right one.
Yeah, exactly, because
yeah.
It is about lessons, right? It's about learning and expansion.
It's about experiencing all that you are and all that you create.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's negative or positive, you're still going to experience it until it gets all balanced.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they only have
beautiful
to balance
thing.
It. They only have to balance it 51%, to get there. They don't have to do it 100%.
Yeah, critical mass. Once you reach it,
yeah,
you pull
exactly.
the rest of it with you. Yeah.
Yes.
Which is a good thing.
It's a gift.
It sure is.
Yes, it's so, a gift.
Yeah, and we really have to pay attention to that. Just put some effort forth and you'll reach critical mass.
It's called work.
Well, it is called work. Spiritual work at that.
And yes, and feeling work, because one of the things about doing your soul work, and people run around the bush all the time, they go around it, they go up it, they go down it, but they're not going anywhere till they go through it. Because people by nature avoid feelings. They're okay if they're happy. They don't like it when they're sad. They don't like it when they're depressed. They don't like the grief. But if they don't go through those, they're just putting it off until the time comes when they have to go through it.
When yeah, and you'll happen. Have to. Yeah. You have
well,
to.
If you want to grow, you have to, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And
because
so,
that's what changes everything.
Mm-hmm. Does the soul define who we are and what we do?
If we listen to it, it does.
So what's the easiest way to listen?
Well, one of the practical ways is, let's say you're having a conversation with somebody and people have a tendency always to hold the other person responsible for, like, say, somebody's going to hold you responsible for their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And you might be there taking on their energy because now you're going to react to them rather than respond to them, okay? And the mm-hmm. reaction would be that you're taking on their energy. What I suggest to people is when somebody is confronting you with something unpleasant, you need to step back and mentally ask yourself, is this mine or is it theirs? Because that interrupts the reaction. And if a person can practice that and do it, they'll begin to think, hey, wait a minute, this is not my stuff. This is your stuff in their head. And then they might respond and say, well, you definitely seem to be upset, but, you know, this isn't really mine. I can only give you an experience where somebody one time, I was in a short-time relationship with, got very, very angry with me. And I just said, you know, I don't have any history with you for you to be that angry with me.
Mm-hmm.
And it just stopped the whole thing. Because it's true. It's a style of communication as well. And if people can become aware, if they're reacting or responding, and if they step back and figure out whose issue it is, if it's my issue, I'm going to own it.
Okay.
Or if I caused something, I'm going to apologize for it. It's being aware of our behaviors and how we engage people or how we push them away. And the soul is going to whisper at you about, it's going to tell you because you're going to feel it. That's when you feel the soul's talking to you. When you feel, mm-hmm. you know, this doesn't feel right because, no, I didn't do that. No, this doesn't feel right. That's the soul telling you this is not your issue.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. And it's kind of listening to your heart because that's where the seed of the soul is.
Yes.
So if people okay. listen more to their hearts instead of their heads, listen to the heart first, then use your mental powers to put it all together.
Then that would give you much better guidance. Oh, absolutely.
Much, much better guidance.
Well, the
it
old
is.
Saying, your heart's on your sleeve, all these old sayings that really say, follow with your heart, but we forgot that.
Oh, absolutely, yes. Definitely, but they can silently listen to their heart,
mm-hmm.
you know, and take the information from there and taking the time out to find out, does this feel right? The problem is people want instant gratification, so they want the answer right now, and the answer oftentimes doesn't come that fast. So we're back to trust again. You have to trust, always ask, and then wait for the answer because it's going to come.
Mm-hmm. And you just have to be aware of how the answer shows up.
You have to, yes, because it can show up with a big bow on it or it can show up with a big hammer on it.
Yeah.
You know, it can show up in all kinds of different forms. You just have to be aware.
You know, and it's so funny because, I mean, I have all sorts of different ways of it showing up. It could be something as the next song when I turn the radio on, have the answer right there, or I might turn the TV on and there will be the answer, or I'll hear, look at the license plate in front of you and the numbers will add up to, I mean, all sorts of
things. That's the universe talking to you, and that's your soul bringing it to you. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's affirmation.
Inside voice. Yeah, I'll hear an inside voice. I'll hear an outside voice. Those are really interesting. The outside.
Oh, yes.
Awake in the middle of the night with the voice talking to me. I'm like, oh, my God.
Well, you can always ask them to wait till you're awake, too.
it's fun. I love, actually, and that's probably why I do it, because I love the interaction. I love seeing the beings when they come in. I can actually feel them when they embrace me or touch me or bring me somewhere.
And oh, yeah.
The coolest stuff.
If there's a willingness to heal and you trust it, and always for anyone that might be listening to you, if any entities come to them, all they have to do is ask. If you're not of the light, leave.
Mm-hmm.
And they will leave if they're not of the light. Okay? And if they're of the light, they'll stay, and then you just surrender.
And have fun.
And have fun. It's a lot of fun because there's a lot of guides that have spent lifetimes on Earth that have great sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And they love humor. Or at least my bunch loves humor. Well, they'd need to, because otherwise they couldn't hang around me. So
you couldn't hang around. How funny is that?
So, well, exactly.
Okay, so we really shared how we communicate with our soul. We can do it in so many ways.
What Absolutely.
Easiest way for someone who's not quite sure, what would you suggest they do? How would they, okay, you ask the question, you ask something, and you sit around and wait?
No, I would suggest for someone that's not familiar with it at all, but they want to know about their soul, before to go to sleep at nighttime, to put the question out
mm-hmm.
and have their soul come and work on them while they're sleeping.
Mm.
Okay? Because intention is everything. They might need to understand something that's going on in their lives. They might need to understand why they have a certain illness. They might need to understand what to believe in. You know, they might need to understand who they have to forgive or forgive. First of all, forgive themselves for allowing things to happen to them. And they can ask their souls to help them with that. Their guides and their soul will help them with that. And then just let it go and do that, whatever, right? Do it every night they want to, because that gets them into the practice. And then they begin to become more aware. The more aware you become, the vibrations go up.
So true. So true.
Yeah.
So let me go back to you being clairvoyant and then spiritual medium. So,
yeah.
Okay. Say I'm a client, and do I have to have a set question for you, or can you just happen to me and see my soul history? And
this is my style.
Okay.
I usually just need the first person name of the person and the relationship of that person to you or whoever's talking to me. And usually I encourage people to have a list of questions, because that holds them responsible for what knowledge they're going to get.
Okay.
I'm not going to try and guess around you. I'm not going to try and look for your reactions. I like it clean that way. And then what happens in a session, if I'm doing a session, the guides will come in, little children will come in, a whole bunch of people will come in if I let them. So we go from there. But usually I have people prepare when they're going to have a session with me to have questions ready. It gets them focused on the journey.
Mm-hmm.
And I just need first names.
Wonderful. Okay, and so do people come to you and say, what's my soul's purpose?
All the time. Because that's the new age language that
yes,
came out
is.
Probably in the 60s and 70s and 80s. And, you know, the soulmates, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's my take is just different.
Okay. Where can we reach you? Before we go any further, let's give out some contact information.
Okay. My website is Omena, O-M-E-N-A, 777.com. And they can go there and find all information about me. And they can also find my email is there as well, and the phone number. I would prefer to be contacted by email because I pay more attention to the email than I do to the phone.
Okay. There you go, everybody.
Yes, it's much, yes, it's much, much better. And I do consultations over the phone.
Okay.
I do whatever people want. I'm really, I have no, you know, I do whatever people want because it's all about helping people on their journey and it's all about helping people heal themselves.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And how long is a typical session?
Well, it can be from anywhere from an hour to a half an hour, and I have them recorded.
Okay.
So that they have it, so they can listen to it, because oftentimes they're not going to hear everything, but if they listen to it a few times, they're going to understand it more, and they're going to understand the impact of it.
And so early on you mentioned the four fears of a soul.
Of the personality.
Of the personality.
Four fears of the personality, yes.
Okay. And so can you determine if a person is experiencing in this lifetime one of those fears?
Oh, when they come in and they ask one question, I usually tell them what fears they came in with. Because it'll be right there in front of me.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, I had a young lady last night, and she came in with the fear of failure and the fear of rejection. They're the two big ones that she's working on, and she almost has healed the fear of expression. So, some people don't have...
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, no, it's okay. Go ahead.
So, how easy would it be for you to tap into that for me if I just said, okay, what would you need to know from me?
What's your first name?
Edwige.
Edwige, okay. Well, you came in with the fear of failure. You almost healed the fear of abandonment. That's not near as big as it was. And they're about the two big ones you came in with. The rejection and the expression you were fine with. You were able to do that because you grew into self-acceptance, which got rid of the rejection. I can tell you what essence you are, too.
Okay.
If you want me to.
Yes.
Okay.
Why not? We have time.
Okay. Well, let me explain. First of all, it has nothing to do with gender. We're either a feminine essence or a masculine essence. Depends on which part of the spirit incarnated. You're a masculine essence, which means you process everything through your mental body.
I knew that. That's so interesting. I knew that.
Well, I'm just confirming it for you. Okay, yes, so you're a mental essence. And one of the things about when you get a feminine essence and a mental essence together, one is thinking and the other's feeling. And that's where they get into trouble because they don't understand each other if they don't understand their true essence. Okay? And the key is we come in, I'm a very strong masculine essence, but I'm also a strong feminine essence because I've learned to integrate. And we come in, the mental essence come in oftentimes in the female body so that we experience the feminine essence. And then the key
is it easier for that type of person to then be in harmony? Because don't we have to balance the masculine and the feminine?
Absolutely. We integrate. Yes, we integrate it, and then it's much easier. It's much easier to live a balanced life. If you understand your essence and you understand the essence of people around you, then you have a better understanding of the person.
Sure.
If they're the opposite to you, and you understand what essence they are, then you learn different communication ways to be able to talk to the feeling person, or the feeling person to be able to talk to the mental person.
Fascinating. Now, do you have a workshop or something about that? Because that actually is quite interesting in and of itself.
Oh, I can create a workshop for anything.
That would be a good one.
Well, actually, what I do with that is the workshops that I do. The inner personality test is one of the workshops I do that in. Okay. And that's my workshops are always fun because they're full of humor. And I do the inner personality test goes into the communication styles, what essence you are, And it's all about your inner self.
Mm-hmm.
It's very light. It's a lot of fun. And then I do the Inner Wisdom Tool and Toy Workshop. And that's hilarious because you bring your favorite tool or your favorite toy or both to the workshop. And that's where everything starts from. That's always fun.
So a physical toy?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, you can bring in your toys or you can bring in your work toys. Or when I do it for professionals, they bring in their work toys, their work tools, mm-hmm. I should say.
Their tools.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And what do they learn from bringing that in?
Well, they learn all about their personalities. There was one young lady, which I thought was fascinating, that she was the youngest in the family and she was totally spoiled. So she brought in this tiny little teddy bear. And she was probably in her 20s. So I said to her, so tell me about your teddy bear. Well, she won it at a carnival. And she held on to that for the rest of her life because that's the only thing she was allowed to do by herself.
Wow.
Because everything was done for her. And she got such a great dose of self-esteem that she could accomplish that. And that's what the mm-hmm. teddy bear represented to her, her independence.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then I had another man and he picked Rubik's Cube.
Hmm.
And I just said, well, you're just a square. And he just roared laughing because he was. He was also an architect. But he was very square. And it starts
very
from there. It starts from there and it gets very funny from there.
Wow. Yeah, a good way to learn, isn't it?
It's a wonderful way to learn because there's no judgment and it's fun and you learn about yourself in a way, you know, I think I have it on there where you learn about yourself without feeling like you're in therapy.
Yeah, and that's
yeah.
so important, you know, that we don't feel like we're beat up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, because beating up doesn't help. That doesn't
no,
help.
No, not at all.
No.
Not at all.
No.
So how do we benefit from listening to our soul? What do we, okay,
well,
here's the
okay.
ego. What do we get out of it?
Let me explain to you the ego of the personality and the ego of the soul, because I think that's gonna help. Okay, I always get mixed up with these two, but I'll get them. The ego of the personality. If a person finds himself constantly or more than not into this, is envy, gratification, and obsession. That's the ego of the personality. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And the ego of the soul is encouragement, gratitude. And observance.
Beautiful.
So if we're doing the ego of the soul and we're looking at that, then we know that we're moving towards a higher good.
Mm-hmm.
If we do the envy and the gratification and the obsession, we're just stuck in the muck and the mire of life.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way of getting in touch with your soul is to honor the ego of it and be aware of when our personality is demanding that we do the opposite.
So say the characteristics of the soul ego once again, because those are really important.
Okay, so. Oh, where did I just said them, didn't I?
Yes.
It went out of my head. Okay,
oh, well,
get it back here, guys. Get it back.
It'll come back.
Head. It will. It'll come. It has to come back.
Yeah.
Oh my God! I cannot believe I just got a brain freeze on it. Ask me another question, and I'll get it.
Okay. I want to say one with observance. Okay. How do we integrate what our soul teaches us? How do we bring these truths into our daily lives?
That has to do with. Now I have to. I remembered it. The ego of the soul is encouragement. So that's encouraging ourselves and others. It's being grateful for every little thing.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody smiles at you, be grateful they smile at you. Smile back. And to observe behaviors, ourselves as well as others, and look and see if they're doing it for their higher good or if they're doing it to hurt themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's the beginning of getting, that's a good way to start getting in touch with your soul. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And it begins to, when you begin to integrate the encouragement and the gratitude and the observance, once you make that part of you, then you begin to integrate that energy, and then you begin to get in touch with the feelings and the healing, and you begin to integrate all of that. And when you know you're healed, you have a memory without the pain.
Absolutely. Wow. So very interesting, because those are some of the principles that with beings visiting me that I really got the detached observer. And just, it's so important that we understand these three attributes.
Absolutely. And to be aware of the you can't serve two masters. So you have to pick which one you want to serve, the ego of the soul or the ego of the personality.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do both at the same time. You can't do judgment and compassion at the same time. You can only do one or the other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's really what it means, is it? To serve two, you can't serve two masters. So you're either going to serve the ego personality or the soul.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a good way to be able to compare what energy you're in, and to bring in your soul's energy is to start being aware what ego you're responding to or reacting to.
So how could we bring in the soul's energy?
Just ask it to come in.
Three things.
Just ask it. Mm-hmm. Ask your soul to help you. Ask your soul to show you the encouragement. And you might find somebody that walks into their lives that think they're the greatest person in the world, see their gifts, and then help that person grow towards the gifts that they're supposed to be doing.
Mm.
Now, if it's somebody with a fear of rejection, they may take them a little longer. They may be afraid to say what they really think, because they might be afraid of being rejected by this very friendly person that's in their lives, or this very person that can become a mentor. If everyone could pick out a mentor, someone that they admire, ask that person to mentor them.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't have the fear of rejection, of course. If they do, it might take a little longer. Then write it if you can't ask it. Yes.
Yeah.
Write it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Write it to the person if you can't ask.
You know, and it's so interesting, the fear of failure almost makes that ego personality want to be the perfectionist.
Well, it does, because what happens is when you have the fear of failure, nothing is ever good enough. And if you turn into a perfectionist, and if you feel not good enough, nothing is ever good enough. It's this vicious cycle.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, very interesting, because that definitely is something that I have moved through in the last few years.
Right. And you become to a level of acceptance.
Yeah, absolutely. I was the person about 5 years ago who definitely crossed their T's and dotted their I's and had to do it all myself, because I knew I could do it right.
Well, I grew up with some dyslexia and nobody knew what it was, so I turned it into a gift. And now I'm just surrounded by correct dolls, and that's okay with me.
Uh-huh.
If they want to take the work and correct it, I'm grateful.
Go ahead. Thank you.
Exactly. Go right ahead. Because I still get the message across, and I don't worry about the little things like that. So, because when nobody knew what it was, then there was no label to put on me. So you compensate for it.
Yeah. And that's another important point you just made, labels. We need to step outside the boxes and let go of labels.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Really important lesson.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because labels, you know, you can just write them down, tear them up, and burn them if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Or just rip them off and burn them.
So let me go back to this, though, because I really want to understand, how do we integrate what our soul teaches us?
You feel it.
How do we bring that? Okay.
Let's see. I'm trying to think of an example that would be really good. If you understand why you do the things that you do, like people can be better, they can be bitter, they can live life by choice or by chance, they can be happy or sad. It all begins with a thought.
Mm-hmm.
Everything begins with a thought. So if they want to become more aware of their soul, they need to become aware of the egos that I just explained.
Mm-hmm.
And most people go around wondering what they should do, and they forget to ask the question in their mental mind and ask a higher level for the answers. I'm not saying pray and beg, demand, because that's our right.
Mm-hmm.
The universe or God or all whatever is in the universe cannot say no when you ask. It's like the, you know, the Bible saying, asking you shall receive. And that's really, really true. Just don't be careful about it. Be specific about what you ask for, because mm-hmm. you're going to get it. And how to win, huh?
Yeah, no, and know it.
Yes, and know it, and own it.
Mm-hmm.
I have name it, claim it, own it, heal it, let it go.
You know, and that's so, yeah, that's an interesting thing, because when I get clients and that I mentor and coach, and it's one of the challenges, isn't it, to get people to believe that they're divine beings, to get them to believe that they're creating their experiences, and to get them to change their mindset so that, like, look, be thankful. You created this to this point through default. And so now let's start to intend with clarity what it is.
Or it can be very simple. When somebody comes with something like that, I just say, why would you do that to yourself? Sometimes you have to hit them where they're at, meet them where they're at. And that's a skill in itself. That's an art of communication. But it's also having no fear to confront it in a very loving way.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And because I explained to him, I'm not here to prove anything to you. I'm just here to show you your truth. You'll know when it's your truth, because it's going to hit you right in the chest. And it breaks up all that garbage that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
And it does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's about helping them find their own truth. And then if they shed the tears, you know they got it. They take deep breaths, the integrated breathing is enormous in integration, because you're bringing in the new and letting out the old.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And that's part, yeah. And if you feel it, then you know your soul is right there with you, helping you.
Yeah, wow. Very.
And like I said, you'll have a memory without the pain, or you'll have that feeling of being happy and you know you've released. That means you've integrated.
And there's such peace that comes with that integration.
Yes, and the acceptance. If you don't have that, we don't have time to do, there's a whole litany of the soul that I've written about, and it's a wonderful, wonderful comparison, but we don't have time to go through all of that now. But if you ever
could
need a workshop on this.
Could you share some finer points? Could you share some finer points of it?
Well, the soul teaches acceptance, and if we don't learn acceptance, we'll be constantly rejected.
The soul teaches acceptance. So acceptance exactly where you are in that moment.
Acceptance is accepting who you are,
mm-hmm.
what you are, whether it's a good, bad, different, ugly, happy, whatever it is. It's part of your history. You honor it. You honor your feelings. And then you do the work on whatever work you need to do, and accept that and be okay with it. Otherwise, it's constant rejection.
Mm.
Like the soul teaches abundance. If we are not abundant in our lives, then we have poverty of the soul. Then we never have anything, or we never appreciate anything.
So how would you tell someone to work through that?
Well, what I would do probably with them, in talking to them, I would find out what they are, what is it that's lacking in themselves, in their lives. And sometimes it's an attitudinal adjustment. I do those as well, in terms of having them. It's like a paradigm shift in the brain, because that's what the energy does when they get the information, if they're in my living room, then they have access to all my ascended masters. I have a master, his name is Andrew, and he's a physician. So he does a lot of adjustment on the people when I'm working with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they will do that in terms of helping them move that energy. And it's, the other one is the compassion and the judgment that I did. If you don't have compassion, then you're going to be judged.
Yeah, wow.
You know, and the personal power is to know our own strengths and our boundaries, and to respect them in others. And to give personal power gives us freedom of choice. And we learn to live life to the fullest. If we have lack of it, then we have, and we learn that at a very early age sometimes, then we experience feelings of powerlessness and helplessness.
Mm.
So
powerful, powerful words.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's real, you know, because that's when people are working through the creed of the soul and they're feeling that that's truly the soul doing its work.
Mm-hmm. Indeed it is.
It is.
Do you have any final thoughts you'd like to share with the audience?
Well, I would encourage everybody to start thinking about the soul if they're not in touch with their soul. I most certainly am available to any workshops anywhere on the soul. I'll travel and do them. I love people. I love working with people. I think they're the most fascinating creatures on the earth. And I think everyone deserves to be happy and everyone deserves more love, and it begins with self-love.
It does. Indeed, it does. So once again, your website is omena777.com?
Yes.
And that's O-M-E-N-A. Omena.
Correct. Yeah.
All righty. I want to thank you. This has been a delight. I so appreciate your time.
Well, I appreciate you having me. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. So there you have it, everyone. Another wonderful episode of Affirmations for Living. As you know, it is all about affirming a better way of living. It's about discovering, indeed, discovering your true authentic self. So I invite you to visit my website, Dr. Edmund, or download my app today, Awakened. Until next time, connect into your soul. Take care. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Affirmations for Living with Edwige. Join us again next week, Wednesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the BBS Radio Network, and visit my Facebook page, download my app, Awakened, and visit my website, affirmationsforliving.net. And remember, be the change that you want to see. Until next time, this is Reverend Dr. Edwige. Namaste.